actually looking more at a person, the person of Mary Magdalene. We'll be looking at people that met up with Jesus. What happens when grace meets you right where you are? Right where you are. That's what grace does. Have you ever felt kind of maybe unprepared for something that you got thrown into? Maybe kind of like an unimportant, I'm not really. And all of a sudden you find yourself being given something important and you're like, whoa, what am I doing here? How did this come to me, you know? I think of some people that have been in my past that have kind of found themselves in that. I think of somebody from our last church, Sherry Williams, newer to the faith, newer to the body, and I don't remember how long it was, but all of a sudden she found herself working with the children, and she stepped right up and began giving a vision and leading that ministry and making it really something much more special than it had been before. She just all of a sudden, there she was, found herself not really prepared, but given something really big. That's pretty neat. When we find ourselves as caregivers, it can feel far more overwhelming than we feel prepared for. And yet, God meets us there in those times. I think of when I was a new pastor. My last church, I was an associate pastor, only there for a year and maybe a year and a half, and the senior pastor resigned. And shortly thereafter, we found our treasurer had prostate cancer. And he had a wife who was a paraplegic. She was paralyzed from the neck down. And they had a 32, I think, year old son named Michael, who he was completely dependent on them for his care. So Jerry, the husband, was responsible for a paralyzed wife and an autistic, special needs, 32-year-old son, fairly challenged in his ability to care for himself. And I'm like, I walked with them through that time, and Jerry passed about 3 months later. Talk about feeling overwhelmed as a new pastor. I was in way over my head. And feeling inadequate? Oh, yeah. Not gifted enough? Oh, yeah. And you know what? God loves to use unimportant, simple people who just are willing. They're just willing. So we start to look at somebody who found herself in that place, Mary Magdalene. I'll tell you a little bit about Mary. First about just women in that time and day, back in Jesus' time. The thought through a lot of Greek society, and that has really influenced the Jewish society as well, that women had a very low place in culture at that point in time. They were not able to do a lot. In fact, basically, their place was in the home, and that was, literally in the home. They were not allowed to testify in court. Their word was not taken as with any value at all. In worship, in the Jewish worship and temple worship, women and men were separated. The women could go to the women's court, but that was it. Now, that did not exist in the Old Testament in Solomon's temple, but somehow or other, they managed to make that into the temple in Jesus' time. They couldn't participate in public prayer in the temple. Women could not. They couldn't engage in commerce. It was just not something that they had an option to do. And they were simply rarely seen outside the home. When they were, they had to be completely covered. They were prohibited from conversing with men. It was very, very limited. In fact, the terminology, I saw this on Jews for Jesus, and they website, they're pretty solid. The terminology for prostitute was one who goes abroad. So just out, if you were just a woman that was out walking around and doing stuff, you would be suspect. You would be suspect. And they were likely mostly illiterate. They were not taught at all in those days. And that was the atmosphere for Mary Magdalene, the woman of the first century Jerusalem, probably pretty unimportant, pretty inadequate feeling for things. But then grace met her, or she met grace. So let's stand as we read a little bit of her story today. I always like to read God's word standing up just as a way of honoring him. So let's read together today. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." Thank you so much, Lord, for this story of your grace towards somebody. Let us see in ourselves something of Mary, because our story intertwines with hers. If we will stop and look at ourselves in the presence of grace and in the midst of our struggles, Lord, you are there. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and amen. May be seated. So who was Mary Magdalene? We hear that name most often at Easter time because that's primarily where we see her in Scripture. She was from a town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee called Magdala. That's why she was a Magdalene. She was from the city of Magdala. Scripture tells us, well, and you don't really ever hear that city mentioned again. In Scripture. I don't recall it ever really being talked about except for in her name, Mary from Magdala. That's what her name meant. Now, we know that Jesus had cured her of some sort of possession or oppression by seven evil spirits. So, we don't have more information than that, but Scripture says that Jesus cast out of her seven evil spirits. Now, that could look in a lot of different ways, whether it is, we've seen sometimes the demonic possession in this time, you know, there was a young boy who would cast himself into the fire and writhe on the ground, and Jesus cast the demon out of him. There was different ways that the demonic presented itself, but it was never pretty, and it was always alarming. And it was something that people were frightened by. So whatever her lot was, there were seven of them. And you have to know that that's not a good thing. If that was you back in those days, you would probably be an outcast. People wouldn't want to associate you. They would be fearful of you. They wouldn't want you around. They wouldn't want you around their kids. They were afraid that what was going on with you was going to somehow affect their life or infect them or some way. You were not somebody that people wanted around. So here's Mary, even after the demons had been cast out, I'm sure had to deal with and overcome the mistrust of people. Like, oh, I know her. I don't want to be around her. Well, they say Jesus cast the demons out. Yeah, well, that's fine, but I'm still not coming anywhere near her, right? That's pretty typical of people. They can be pretty self-protective. So that was Mary. She had to overcome mistrust, but you know who overcame mistrust? Grace did. When Jesus met her, grace overcame. And Jesus, when grace meets you where you are, grace looks past those things. Amen? I don't know what demons you have in your past or troubles or problems, but grace looks past those things to you personally. Did you know that within the four Gospels, she is named more times than most of the apostles are? Fairly prominent. God raised her up to a pretty prominent place. At least 12 times she is named in the Gospels. Now, how? How did God raise her to such prominence? Was it because of her preaching in front of hundreds and thousands of people? No? Was she because she was healing disease and performing the miraculous? Was it because she had some title that was impressive to people? Or fame or wealth that all people were looking and thought, wow, what a wonderful... Was it because she had some position or title or job that people said, oh, look what she does? Nothing to do with that. Well, how did God raise her to such prominence? It's interesting to look at that. Let's read it. Grace met her where she was, and she just simply loved him. And she loved him. I hope that I'm not sounding like a broken record, but that's okay. Until we get the reality of what grace truly is, there's no more powerful truth that we need to apply to ourselves. Grace is what? God in love doing for and in us what we could never do ourselves. It's so profound. One of these days, if you haven't got it, you're going to be like, I get it. I get how profound that is about, in life. When grace met her, she said, you know what? Anything I can do, I'm going to do whatever I can to serve him. That's just it. We look at one of the scripture verses. It says that, back up. She was one of the women who were helping to support Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. So, if you think about it, what did Jesus do? He taught, he healed, he walked around, he ministered to the masses. He didn't hold down a job. His job was the ministry of the gospel, right? What did they eat? Where did they sleep? There were women that, out of their own means, supported them. Mary Magdalene was one of those. Whatever it took to serve, she was going to do, whatever it was. Even if, how would it have been for her to be working to try to support Jesus' ministry in those days? She wasn't even supposed to be out and about, let alone doing commerce, let alone interacting with people, other men, in order to make money, in order to support Jesus. She was kind of bucking the system, wasn't she? Go Mary! Right? You know what? She was like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to serve my Lord. I know what he did for me, and whatever I got to do to serve him, providing that it's obedient to Scripture, I'll do it. And if she had to break some customs and traditions, she did it. There she was. Her love for him was first. Other people's opinions of her was nowhere near her desire to serve the one she loved most. Because when Grace met her, she realized how much she was loved and how much she loved him. Grace said, "Mary, be great. Because those that are going to be great will get there by what?" Yes, but Jesus had a particular saying. It says, "Those among you who want to be great among you must be servant to all." Yep. So he said, you be great, Mary. You serve. You do it. And she did, right? Grace met her where she was, and she loved him. She loved him. Grace met her, and she determined she was not going to desert him no matter what. No matter what. We see some ways in which we saw that as part of her story. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and there's Mary Magdalene again. There's Mary from Magdala showing up again. Were the disciples there? We talk about specifically John. It does talk about a number of Jesus' followers standing afar off. But the other disciples are not mentioned by name. Not Peter. Not any of the other ones. Were they there? They could have been part of the crowd standing off. But there's Mary. There's Mary. One of the ones that said, "You know what? I love him, and I'm going to show up. I am not going to desert him. You are not. He is not going to look for me and find me gone. He's not going to look for me and find that I was too scared. It was going to cost me too much. So I'll come back when things quiet down a little bit." That's how Mary of Magdala became a person of prominence. She just showed up and refused to desert him. No long day. Oh, it was a long week for the followers of Christ, wasn't it? It was a long, long week. No hard trials. No angry looks from people. "What are you doing here? You should, you're one of them." "I don't care. I am not leaving my Lord's side." No fearful consequences. No loss of finances. Not even fear of a loss of life. This woman said, I will never desert him. It tells us later in Matthew that after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea took the body and placed it in a new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. They followed Joseph right to the tomb, and there they sat. She was not going to desert him. Even in his death, she was there. She said, "I'm yours, Jesus. I got you back. You met me where I was when I was a mess, and you showed me grace. I'm going to be with you where you are." She knew where she had come from. I was an outcast. I was a beggar. I had nothing. I was homeless. I was friendless. And you took me in. I am not leaving you. Remember the verse, that story when Jesus came to have dinner at one of the Pharisees' homes, and a woman came and just was weeping over him. Some think that was Mary of Magdala, but I don't believe it was. There's nothing in Scripture that actually says that. It was just a woman who was of a sinful nature. She was just not a woman of good repute. She came at Jesus' feet, just wept, weeping over his feet, drying her tears from his feet with her hair, anointing him with oil. And Jesus told this story. You know, if somebody was forgiven much and somebody was forgiven just a little, who would love more? And the Pharisee said, well, duh, Jesus, the one who was forgiven much. What a simple question. And here's that woman loving more than the Pharisees ever had the concept of loving. And here's Mary of Magdala loving Jesus because of what he had done when grace met her, when Jesus met her. Who loves more? The one who's forgiven more. Sometimes if we're not loving Jesus very much, you know what? You know why it is? We just don't realize how much God has done to forgive us or how much we need forgiving from. We think we're okay and we're kind of all that. And some point in time, life makes us brings that mirror to us and we say, oh, well, I guess I am not quite as great as I thought I was. And then you realize how good Jesus has been to you, what forgiveness he offers to you. He's so good. Grace met her where she was, and she loved him. And she was determined to honor him in his life, his name, his memory. And when the Sabbath was over, Jesus had been in the grave 3 days. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, they brought spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body and give him a proper honoring burial. She wanted to honor him even in his death. Even in his death, she loved him for his grace towards her. She didn't know this verse yet because it hadn't been written. But it's a verse that we can look at and recognize and say, you were bought at a price. You were bought at a high price, the price of the Son of God. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor him with your mind. Honor him with your eyes. Honor him with your lips. Honor him. He's so worthy for what he's done for you and for me. Honor him. This would be pretty real to her, right? When she did finally hear of this verse, when she maybe read this letter that Paul wrote, and she said, and Paul said, therefore, you were bought at a price. Honor him with your body. And she would be like, I know what he did for me. I will honor him with my whole life, you know? Grace met her where she was. There's so much to her story. I could probably preach a series on it. But just to keep going, she understood by experience what grace was. And grace is what? Why don't you just say it with me? Because we need to learn this. Grace is in love, God in love, doing in and for us what we could never do ourselves. That is grace. What did he do for her? The story continues. She was the first to learn of Jesus' resurrection from the angels. This woman, of whom women were like, they're unimportant. That was in that day, women were just not important. They were not, there was no place of significance that women had in that day. She was the first to learn of Jesus' resurrection. The angel showed up to her, not to Peter, not to John, not to James, future leaders of the church. Jesus, the angel, showed up to Mary. She was the first to tell the disciples the good news that Jesus, there's something, Jesus isn't there. The angel said he was risen just like he said he would. You know how the disciples responded at first? Yeah, they thought it was nonsense. No, that can't be. But let's go back and see. And that's how Scripture says. They thought it was foolishness, but they went back to check. Mary was the first to see the risen Jesus. She was the first to see him. Not one of the disciples, not the Pharisees, not in. He appeared to Mary of Magdala, this insignificant woman. Oh, sounds like she was pretty significant, wasn't she? Because grace met her right where she was, and she simply showed up. She never left his side. She determined to be faithful to him. She determined to honor him. Simple things. Oh, but God honored that, didn't he? She was likely the first to touch his risen body. It doesn't say specifically that he does, but it does. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me," was what Jesus said to her. So you get the idea that she reached out to grab him, and he's like, "Mary, don't hold on to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father." So she was the first to hear his voice. Yeah, you're grasping the significance of all these things that happened to Mary of Magdala, this person we don't even hear about afterwards, I don't think. And she was also the first to receive instructions from Jesus. Okay? Jesus gave her first instructions on what was to happen next. And she was the first to go and instruct the disciples. Now, isn't that an interesting place for a woman to have been in those days? Certainly, it gives us some understanding of how God values the ministry of women. You know, what percentage of the church is women? I guess 50%. What? We'll just throw that number out there. We need men and we need women to be in ministry today, whether that is as a lay person or as a pastor or as a missionary or whatever it might be. We need the whole body of Christ serving because the needs are so great, aren't they? So simple, so powerful and life-changing, though, that God would meet with someone who in her mind was insignificant. Look at all that he did through this woman. It's really amazing. Grace met Mary, right where she was. So where are you? I don't know. The person sitting next to you doesn't know, even though you might know them well. Nobody knows where you are in life right now, except you and God. And just like Mary, he says, "I know where you are, and I have grace for you," right? "I have for you in love to do in you, to do through you, what you could never do yourself." That's my desire, Jesus says. That's grace towards you. So, do you feel yourself in a place of hopelessness? Do you see how hopelessness can give way to great hope as God comes alongside you, just like he did to Mary, and says, "I'll walk with you through this if you'll just invite me in. If you'll just say, 'I need you.' If you just begin and say, 'I want you to be first in my life. I recognize you're God and I'm not. And I just need you in my life today.'" And you know what his answer is to that? 100% every time? "Yes. I'm already here. I was just waiting for you to open the door of your heart." I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and as we close in prayer and a song, just bow your heads for a moment. Spirit, you've put your finger on something in many of our lives today that only you and each one of us knows what it is, because you're the one that speaks to us. You're the one that indwells us or is just tapping on the door of our heart saying, would you let me in? And I thank you, Lord, that it's your desire that we be let in, or that you be let in and made a part of whatever it is we're going through. If God has tapped something in your life today and you just recognize, I've never really said, come into my life, but you know you need to and want to today, just between you and him and me so I can pray, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Jesus, I need you to come into this situation today. And just, yeah, amen, thank you. Allow him to come in, yes. Because he wants to walk with you through this. Make this your go to the tomb moment. Make this your stay at the cross moment. Make this your I'm going to honor you with my life moment and say, Lord, here's my hand. This is my coming to you to say, yes, I need you. Amen. Raise your hand if you just want to say, this is my moment to tell you right now, yes, amen. I need you. Amen. Thank you. 4 or 5 people that have just said, this is my need for you. Let's let this song be our prayer to you, Lord God, that we just want you to fill our lives. We want you to, in a new way, maybe that I haven't experienced before, to just sense your nearness. Grasp the faithfulness of your promises that you will walk with me in whatever you have put your finger on today. You will walk with me. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your ministry in each of our lives. We trust you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen.